Mr. Burns, you do sit right in the line of sight, so if we need a volunteer, you just kind of stand out there. Or Mr. Hammonds, maybe. Somebody said something right before services about a perfect church. And, I know that's not us, is it? That's what we want to be. That's what we're supposed to be. Supposed to be holy and perfect and merciful, just as God is. But you can tell by the writings of Paul to the New Testament churches, back then it wasn't perfect. And it's not today, because God is calling people, imperfect people, and that's us. Well, I hope everybody had a good week, and it's good to be here on the Sabbath. And I do always want to be growing and learning, and I know all of us do. Many things about God's character and His ways they're wonderful and they're excellent. Like it says there in 1 Corinthians, I show you a more excellent way, God's way of love. They're excellent, but they can be, especially when you're younger in the church. I know for myself, and probably for everyone that's newer to the truth of God, when you really start reading the Bible for the first time, and I don't mean just cherry-picking a few scriptures you read for inspiration every morning, but when you really want to know who God is and what He's doing, you come across scriptures and concepts that can be a little confusing or unclear. Or at first reading, I would say they can appear to even contradict one another. But that's always due to a lack of understanding. And as you read and study more, you begin to understand things. I want to present something today. I want to present one side of a coin, a proverbial coin. I want to speak about something that could be misconstrued or misinterpreted, and in a controversial way even. I was gonna embarrass myself and sing today. When we were at the feast, Mr. Martin does do that. Somebody said Mr. Martin. Mr. Greg Thomas sang. Is anybody at Panama City Beach? Our kids were busy doing whatever they were doing, and when he started singing this song from Les Miserables, their little ears perked up. They have big old grins on their face. That's a good attention getter. But I probably would embarrass myself. I don't know that I can carry a tune or sound that smooth. But let me read this song. You might know this. The younger ones probably don't. The older folks might. If the wife and I are fussing, brother, that's our right. Because me and that sweet woman's got a license to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? Anybody heard that song? It's an old Hank Williams song. I don't know when it was written, way back in the 30s or 40s. I'm not even sure how I've heard it, but I've known it for a long time. My grandmother used to love him. She said he was a real handsome man. And that's probably how I knew it. I probably heard her playing it on the radio. Mind your own business. That's the controversial message I want to just explore a little bit today. We know that as a church, we should bear one another's burdens. And we should serve and love and help each other. We should, in a sense, be in each other's business. We share our problems, health trials, and whatever, and we pray for each other. But there is a scripture in the New King James, I don't know how other versions put it, but there's a scripture that says, mind your own business. So we're going to read that here in just a minute. Proverbs 18:17. I could turn there. Proverbs 18:17. That's the title today as well, Mind Your Own Business. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems or appears right until his neighbor comes and examines him. I was at an agricultural fair in Florida in Green Cove Springs, the Clay County Agricultural Fair, some years ago. This is way back in the 80s or 90s. I don't remember all the details, but I know there was a man and a woman, a husband and wife. And I assume they were husband and wife. I'm not sure, actually. A couple. And they were arguing and bickering. And I don't remember. It may have gotten a little physical. But some other chap come along, and he was doing what? Not bad to be chivalrous or step in and help somebody if somebody needs defending, of course. He stepped in and said something, and immediately the woman turned on him. And the man of the couple, he reared back and knocked the guy out cold for getting in their business, so to speak. And I don't know what it was about. They shouldn't have been fighting. Man and woman, husband and wife shouldn't be, but they do. And anyways, this guy who was doing what was apparently a noble thing, you know, to try to help and interrupt, he jumped in somebody's business, and the couple turned on him, both of them. And that happens sometimes. Mind your own business. Because if you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine. Oh, the woman on our party lines, the noisiest thing, she picks up her receiver when she knows it's my ring. Now, the young people are especially not going to know this one. This is when there was party lines. I don't know about the party lines, but I've heard about them. Everybody's on one line. You have to share it. So when he picks up the phone, this irritating or annoying woman gets on the other end, trying to listen in and see what's going on. She picks up her receiver when she knows it's my ring. Why don't you mind your own business? It's kind of a funny song. It's a catchy tune. I thought about playing it on my phone here, but decided not to. Turn to Romans. Let's read a passage in Romans here. It's an upbeat tune, and it's kind of funny. Makes you chuckle. Sometimes the things that make us chuckle are actually pretty serious to God, though. Sometimes we need to pause and think. I don't say you can't listen to the song and chuckle about it. It makes me chuckle. But let's read Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. And think about where envy and strife come from. They come from people, a lot of times from people getting into other people's business. Strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, and you know a lot of times when we get caught up in something or we see other people doing it, when you're guilty, at some point you know you shouldn't do something. You know, there's a lady at work, she's not in the church, as far as I know, she's not even religious, but she's told me before, and she talks a lot, no offense to her, she talks a lot. But she's told me before, just in a casual sort of way, I know I shouldn't be talking about people all the time like I do. You know, a lot of times people know. Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So, would you consider reading that scripture there, considering whisperers, backbiters, envy, strife, that sort of thing? Do you think it's a big deal to God if it's deserving of death? Is it a big deal to get into somebody else's business? That's a rhetorical question. Of course it is. James 4. Turn over to James 4. And the scriptures, I don't want to focus just on gossiping, but that is part of what we're talking about here. The scriptures, the Proverbs have a lot to say about gossip and about spreading rumors and how it does cause division. James 4 and verse 11. James 4 verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And we're supposed to be doers, as it says earlier in the book of James. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And I don't want to go too far with this concept, because, again, in God's way, in His excellent way, there's balance and understanding. We should always judge between right and wrong, and we should know what right and wrong is. And we shouldn't ignore something that needs to be dealt with. If they're even in the church, if there's something in the church going on, I don't say we ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody knows that, I hope. Who are you to judge another? Let's read this scripture that I keep alluding to. Mind your own business. Turn to, let's see, 1 Thessalonians. I think that's where I'm thinking. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead not a noisy life, but a quiet life, peaceful, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. So that goes back to us being an example and being a light to people when we are at work or at services, at church services, not talking and just readily repeating things or condemning others, so to speak, talking down about people. We're supposed to be a light and an example, just like Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, so that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. And again, I go back to this balance thing. God says here, or Paul says, God says through Paul, exhort brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted. So do be involved and do serve, right? Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. There's a sense that God wants us to be, don't take this the wrong way, but there is a sense in which He wants us to be selfish and to focus on ourselves. And we think about that sometimes during Passover season. But we ought to think about it all the time. To be thinking about ourselves, examining ourselves, testing whether or not we're in the faith, understanding the Scriptures, growing in grace and knowledge, pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. One of God's goals for us is to be at peace among ourselves. Verse 13 says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. But that's not always the case. You know, even in the church, we're not always at peace among ourselves, are we? And by the way, I didn't necessarily want to speak about this because there's some sort of harsh contention going on here in Rome, per se. But again, I'm going to point back to the New Testament church, like I mentioned in the very beginning, when you read Paul's letters about problems. And today, in the past few years, you know, a decade, two decades ago, wherever you want to look to, there is imperfection, and to some degree there is contention and, you know, problems that we have with each other. So whether or not we have this huge issue right now or not, we should never ignore this. We need to address it. Be at peace among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. I know I'm skipping around a bunch. I could have just read all this in order, I suppose. Verse 12 says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Again, talk about gossip and people complaining and bickering about one another and bickering and complaining about the ministry. That happens too. I knew someone that came to services. I wouldn't say they were in the church, but the years that I knew this guy, I never heard one single good thing he ever said about anybody in the church that I can remember. Maybe he did, and it just didn't stick out to me. But I could remember everybody was always problematic. It was always an issue and a lot of times it was with people in authority. You know, there was always a problem with this minister or this elder. You know, they were imperfect or whatever. They said something wrong. And again, don't let me get us off on the wrong path. Let's be balanced. Yes, we do have to listen and be alert and think about what's being said. But we don't continually condemn and fight against one another all the time, especially those who labor. He says specifically about those who labor to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. God has an order. I know sometimes in today's society, we like to sort of take on an idea of everything's even. You know, as far as equality goes, there's no order. Everybody's the same. Actually, God is very orderly. He is in the angelic realm. He is in the church. He's going to be in the kingdom. And we ought to respect not someone because they're a person. We ought to respect it because it's God's order. It's God's way. It's His choosing, not ours. So we should respect the authority over us. Let God deal with problems. If there are problems that need to be dealt with, and there's something we can go in an attitude of humility and love and gentleness and correct someone or help someone, that's great. Do it. But sometimes you can't. Pray about it. Beseech God about it. And let God deal with it. Sometimes we need to mind our own business. There have been times when I have wanted to say something before. I just felt like something needed to be said. Nobody's saying it about or to someone, maybe to them. And I put it off. I'm a little bit wary of saying it, and I put it off. I think, no, I shouldn't do that. And I debate it, and I go back and forth in my mind. And then at some point, I decide, okay, it just needs to be said. I'm going to say it. And as soon as I do, I realize it was pretty stupid. I should have just kept my mouth shut. Just been quiet and let God deal with it. Sometimes that is the correct course. Paul and the high priest Ananias in Acts 23. Acts 23. And this message is not primarily about those in authority, but I did want to address this as well. Acts 23 and verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council before the Sanhedrin, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. And then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law. And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" So, who was Ananias? He wasn't one of God's people. He, as far as I know, he wasn't called. He wasn't a good person. He was just part of the, as far as I know, he was part of the corrupt and oppressive religious system of that day. And he had Paul hit on the mouth. Is Paul wrong in what he said against somebody that's apparently evil or bad? Well, he backtracked. Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Paul backtracked and corrected himself. He even used Scripture. You know, he had the Scripture in his mind, and he realized, no, he should not act that way, that it was inappropriate. Turn over to John 19. John 19, and let's read what Christ said when he was about to be crucified. And probably remember this passage, John 19 and verse 7. I'm breaking into a conversation here. The Jews answered Pilate. They said, "We have a law according to our law, and according to our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." So did Pilate have power over Christ? The implication is that he did. And as part of God's plan, of course, he did, and he made the decision. But look how Christ handled it. I mean, Christ could have said, "No, you don't have any power, but I'm going to do this because it's our plan to save humanity, to die for the sins of the world." Well, he said, "Unless you have no power at all," because it was part of God's order. It was part of his plan and his order. Brethren, the point I wanted to make about this authority thing is that when we are concerned too much with others, sometimes we're too focused on someone in authority and how perfect or imperfect or whatever they may be, we can begin to discount them. And as human beings typically often do, we reasonably, logically come up with a reason why we don't have to listen to them or do what they say, to not submit, to be unsubmissive. And God wants us to be in submission. Our job is to follow the example of Christ, to follow how he lived, no matter what anybody else does, no matter how good or bad they do, we're to follow Christ's example. And I wouldn't leave out the example of Peter. I think it's Peter says we ought to obey God rather than men. Of course, that's applicable there. But when it's not at odds with God's plan and his way, then of course we do submit and we listen. I had a patient one time. Well, it wasn't my patient. I was doing house supervisor, which is sort of, there's a lot of things you do in the job, but a part of it is a PR sort of thing where you go deal with issues. People call you and they complain about this or have this problem and they need help or whatever. And I went to see this lady that was very upset. And she'd been through the ER late that night and on into the morning. And I sit down for a long time. I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 minutes. I had to turn my phone off because it was ringing. I had to shut it up and listen. but she just complained continually about everything. And I don't discount her complaints at all. But here's how it went, though. From the second she came in through the door, every single person she came into contact with was against her and had seemingly conspired against her from the moment she walked through the door. You know, from the doctor who wouldn't listen to her, and he probably didn't actually. I'm not taking up for medical staff. They are no more noble just because of their profession than anyone else. But the doctor and then the nurse and then the housekeeper who mopped the floor was a terrible person, maybe because of their race or something. I don't remember now. The person that transported her upstairs, everybody was just horrible to her. And maybe some were. But, you know, whenever you're going through life and it seems like everything is against you and everybody's your enemy, it may not be that way. It may be you need to focus on yourself and examine your own attitude. Focus on your own business, you could say. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Another scripture here. 2 Corinthians. I think I only have a couple more. 2 Corinthians 12. And verse 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 19. Again, do you think that we accuse ourselves to you? Paul says to the church at Corinth, we speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Again, minding your own business doesn't mean you don't do stuff for each other, that you don't involve each other with each other. Edification. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I may be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, again jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, backbitings, whisperings. And I should have read some other translation. I don't know what other translation might put whisperings. I don't know about that word. Whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness. So, brethren in the church, we need to serve each other. And that's our purpose, to serve each other. It's not to condemn. It is to correct each other, edify and help each other. Has anybody heard Robin Weber speak before? Anybody know him? Robin Weber, he gives some good messages. And he said this at least once in his sermons, maybe more than once, that God's the one that does the calling, and us, God's people, are the ones that have to accept who He calls. You know, we don't choose who God calls. Our job is to accept who God calls. I know we've said before, you've probably thought or said, would you call everybody? Now, we have, I think, a lot of love in this congregation, and we love each other and do care for each other appropriately. And I think we're working on it. We need to do better, of course. We always do. But would you call everybody that you've ever met in the church of God? Would that be your same choice? Probably not. Probably not. But as Mr. Weber was saying, that's not our job, is to choose who God calls. It's our job to accept them, not accept sin. People have to change, but to accept who God calls. Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And again, like I said, I think we're striving to do a good job of that. Minding one's own business doesn't lead to everybody going off in their own cave or in a hole somewhere and living separately. God called us to be a family and to take care of each other. And again, to pray for each other. I've said that multiple times, and edify each other. Not to be a hermity-like people. I made that word up. That's the word of the day, hermity. Not to be a hermit. Not to be by yourself and reject everyone. So, brethren, in conclusion, as we reach forward to the kingdom of God and we look outwardly toward serving each other, let's edify one another, pray for each other, pray for and love the ministry, Mr. Rick Beam, Ryan Hall, and whoever else, and all of each other, lay members alike. Pray for the leaders in the church that they may have more wisdom to do God's will, to preach the gospel in this life here and now. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It's our reasonable sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice, and to sacrifice ourselves for each other. So let's serve each other always. Let's pray for each other always. And the last line, I was trying to think of the last line of that song. Mind your own business and you'll be busy all the time. There's enough to do on yourself and work on yourself. So, in the right way, brethren, mind your own business.